In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No servant can serve two lords, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In 1604, at the age of 22, the great Lutheran dogmatician Johann Gerhard wrote, "The cross of Christ is our crown. All the glory of the godly is in the shame of our Lord's passion." I thought of these words a couple months back as I visited a cemetery in North St. Louis. The cemetery is where several generations of the faithful of Emmanuel Lutheran Church have been laid to rest. Emmanuel had been one of the four congregations of which Dr. Walther had been pastor simultaneously. Now the church and cemetery are deep in one of the most difficult neighborhoods of St. Louis. The cemetery is dilapidated, overgrown, half the tombstones are broken, overturned, or all altogether gone. Ownership of the cemetery property reverted to the city, apparently when Emmanuel left the Missouri Synod for what is now the ELCA, and its members refused to tend the graves. In the center of the cemetery, there's a grave of one of the church's pastors, a grave exactly 60 years old this past June. It's marked by a dark, chipped granite cross, some 4 or 5 feet high. The epithet reads simply, "Franz Pieper." Pieper's grave is a powerful reminder of the theology of the cross. How appropriate this resting place for the earthly remains of Franz Pieper, churchman, writer of the greatest dogmatics text ever written in America, theologian of the cross. The cross of Christ is our crown. All the glory of the godly is in the shame of our Lord's passion. For the Christian here on earth, there is no glory, no hope, no trust, no future, no life in anything but the one cross of Christ and in the shame of our Lord's passion. But Jesus in our text points to a dilemma. It is our dilemma. We often seek glory, hope, confidence, trust outside the cross of Christ. Yes, even in mammon. No servant can serve two lords. You cannot serve God and mammon. Make no mistake, these words are as applicable to us today as they were to the first hearers, those disciples and Pharisees. These are first commandment words. We who confess with the mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts in the one Lord, the one God, the one baptism, one God and Father of us all, are oppressed by the ever-recurring temptation to believe we can trust two lords. Singularity of faith and heart ever again become double-mindedness, duplicity, zweifaltigkeit, finally idolatry, and yes, even as Jesus says, hatred. Why is there no room for even the slightest trust in mammon? Trust in the Lord Jesus brings eternal life. Trust in mammon brings eternal death. The Lord will not allow our allegiance to be divided. Kyrios can never become Kyrioi. Just as the title Kyrios was taken from the Septuagint to designate Jesus as the one Lord and God over against the many lords of the syncretistic Near Eastern ancient religions, so also Jesus' lordship discounts any lordship of mammon, any trust in mammon. And what is mammon? The word does not occur in the Old Testament. It occurs in the New Testament only on the lips of Jesus, and always in a derogatory sense. Mammon is not, in fact, intrinsically evil, as is shown by the parable of the unjust steward, which immediately precedes our text, where Jesus urges the rightful use of mammon by the faithful. Nevertheless, the word is used by Luke with the Pharisees lurking nearby, who are greedy, lovers of money, neglecters of the poor, self-exalters. According to its original Aramaic meaning, the word mammon might even be broadened. It means literally, that in which one trusts, that in which one trusts. And though this might be taking some liberty with the text, mammon also includes then any idolatrous trust in self or one's own capabilities rather than in God's gracious provision. And so we have a dilemma. The cross of Christ and the shame of our Lord's passion are our glory, our hope, our trust, and our confidence. But just as we might take offense at Franz Pieper, buried in an ELCA cemetery, such that it is, for God's wisdom is foolishness to men, and that includes us, so also we take offense at the cross. We grasp for mammon and seek for glory in it. We cry out, "Mammon is Lord." Oh, not always with our lips, but by our thoughts and by our actions, which include lack of trust in God's provision, selfishness, pride, lack of concern for others' needs, and a whole host of other sins. So where's the solution to our duplicity? How can we get rid of Lord Mammon? We might look at Jesus' words in today's text and simply begin by resolving to live according to the law. The law is, in fact, a rule, and we do have here some fine rules for Christian living. If we can only resolve to be faithful in the very little thing, namely mammon, then God will surely help us to be faithful in the great thing, namely the eternal treasures. If we can resolve to be faithful in that which is of another, namely earthly goods, we will surely be entrusted with that which is our own, namely our heavenly inheritance. Perhaps we could start out by setting up 15 principles to govern our dealings in earthly goods, and this all to help us keep Lord Mammon in his proper place. After all, Lord Mammon isn't all bad, is he? He's just misguided. And we do have the law to keep him in check, don't we? But here Mammon is still Lord Mammon. And we have only one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole attempt is misguided. It begins and ends with the law. It doesn't deal with the law in its most important aspect and leaves out the gospel. Luther commented on this method of controlling Lord Mammon. He said, "This I say, that men should not cram works into the heart, but let the heart first be good through faith, that works may flow forth. Otherwise, you do no one any good." And how does the heart become good through faith? First, the law strikes it, damns it, kills it, and sends it scurrying off to Christ and the cross. And this is a never-ending occurrence for the Christian life. And the law always accuses. Lord Mammon and our sinful flesh cannot finally be helped out or put in line. They must be killed and killed again and again and again. And who of us has been faithful in the matter of earthly goods? Which of us has not in thought and deed tried to serve two masters, to try to find a middle way? Which of us has been faithful with mammon time for the study of Greek and Hebrew? Which of us has not squandered the 1,001 resources we have here at this seminary? Which of us has been absolutely faithful with a family entrusted to our care? Who of us has clean hands in the face of the damning either-or of our text, or the condemning, "You are not able"? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You are not able to serve both God and mammon. The condemnation of the law goes on and on and on as long as we fool ourselves into thinking we can find a middle way, to thinking we're not guilty. Are you guilty, my friend? Are you guilty? If so, then Christ is for you. And the condemnation does stop, has stopped, did stop at the cross. For there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that cross met you at a font. For there you were buried with Christ through baptism into death. Christ died, yet he lives. Your sinful self dies, yet you live in Christ. Lord Mammon went into the font with you, but he didn't come back up alive. Go back to the font daily. Repent, confess, be drowned together with Lord Mammon and all sinful desires, and you will rise again, declared righteous and pure in the sight of God on account of Christ and his cross. Here's the solution to our problem of Lord Mammon. The cross of Christ is our crown. All our glory is in the shame of our Lord's passion. The shame he bore was our shame. His passion brings us eternal glory. The false glory and pride in mammon were put to death in him. All guilt and remorse for yesterday's misuse of mammon, all anxiety were put to death in Christ. Your failures in dealing with the family entrusted to you were put to death in Christ on the cross. Your lack of diligence in study was put to death on the cross. Your selfishness was put to death on the cross. Your indifference to the needs of others was put to death on the cross. The cross of Christ is our glory, our hope, our life, our salvation, and our peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. In peace and joy, we are empowered to serve God and neighbor, making the best use of mammon. Serve the Lord in peace and with a pure and simple heart. As Gerhard wrote, the cross of Christ is our crown. All the glory of the godly is in the shame of our Lord's passion. All their rest is in the wounds of our crucified Savior. His death is our life, and his exaltation our glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.